of Ephesians chapter number 1. And we'll read it together and look at this great verse tonight. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Let's read it together aloud. Ready? Begin. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. If you have your lesson there, and I know it's been a couple of weeks now, because we had Brother Sousa last week, and I love, if you still haven't heard last week's message from Wednesday night, you need to listen to it. Brother Sousa preached on, in everything give thanks. Tremendous message. Well, here in review, in our last lesson that we had, if you look at your sheet there, in our last lesson we reviewed the spiritual blessing or benefit of believers being accepted. Verse 6 says there, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. And we looked at that. We talked about how we're not accepted because of who we are. We're accepted because of what Jesus Christ did. We received Him, and all that He is applied to our account. You know, when God looks at you, He does not see your sin. He sees the sinless blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And it's a theme throughout this text that we're going to look at. So today, we'll examine the benefit of believers being, blank line, redeemed. So you have a blank line there. We're looking at the benefit of believers being redeemed. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption. Okay, so Roman numeral number 1, let's look at, if we could, the definition of redemption. The definition of redemption. What does redemption mean? What are we talking about here? Okay, the New Testament word redemption is translated from the Greek word, and I'm not even going to try, okay? It's there, and I don't speak Greek. Hallelujah, amen. But I do read what it means, amen. And I tried all day to try and get this word down, and apolupsis, I think it is, amen. And it means to ransom in full. To ransom in full. I love this one. Liberation procured by payment of a ransom, or to buy back. Redeemed. Okay, we have some verses here we'd like to take a look at in regards to this definition of redemption. Two of them are in Ephesians, and then we'll go back to Romans and Colossians. But look at chapter 1, verse 14, please. It's talking here about the Holy Spirit. We'll look at this later, probably, I was going to say a few weeks, but maybe a few months by the time we get down to this part of the chapter. It says, which is the earnest of our inheritance, talking about the Holy Spirit. He's the pledge that we are the Father's. We know we have the Spirit of God. He's the earnest of our inheritance until the what? Redemption of the purchased possession. That's you and I, by the way. We are the purchased possession. And one day God is going to redeem us. Okay, He's given us redemption. One day He's actually going to redeem this body. This mortal is going to put on immortality. This corruptible, Brother Hauser, is going to put on incorruption. Hallelujah for that. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Ephesians 4, 30. Again, talking about the Holy Spirit, talking about us. And talking about redemption, it says there, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Okay, unto the day of redemption. Now go with me, hold your place there in Ephesians, and go back to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. This is all the same Greek word that I can't pronounce. Amen. And each one of these words for redemption is found here. And it means the ransom in full, liberation procured by the payment of a ransom to buy back. Romans 3:24. We know 3:23. We quote that often. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus or Christ Jesus. Amen. And what a blessing that. I'm with you, Tommy. Amen. I say amen to that. Amen. Really, think about it, ladies and gentlemen. That verse again, being justified freely. You didn't do anything. I didn't do anything for my justification. God did it. God did it freely. Then what does it say there? By His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. One more, Colossians chapter 1, and very similar to the verse that we read in Ephesians. Colossians and Ephesians are sister books, particularly chapter 5 of Ephesians, chapter 3 of Colossians. They match up quite a bit there. But Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 14. Colossians 1:14. It says, in whom we have what? Redemption through His blood. This is not on your outline, but redemption carries the idea of liberation at great cost to the one who liberates. It suggests a philanthropist who releases a slave by payment of ransom. Redemption is linked with the price paid, and the price paid with the death of Jesus Christ. Okay? So that's the definition of redemption. Number two, let's look, if we could, at the qualifications of redemption. The qualifications of redemption. And we have some verses that we're going to stop and take the time to look at here. So if you would, let's prepare. Go back to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus, chapter number 25. And we have several verses here in Leviticus that we're going to look at. Leviticus, that's the third book of the Bible, chapter number 25. And so if you have your outline there, number one, the definition of redemption. Number two, the qualifications of redemption. Okay, and we're in Leviticus chapter 25. Look at verse 48 and 49, if you would with me. Leviticus 25, verses 48 through 49. There's more that we could read. We just don't have the time tonight. And so verse 48, talking about here, the servant says, after that he is sold, he may be what? Redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. Either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him. Or any that is nigh of kin may redeem him, of his family may redeem him, or if he be able, he may redeem himself. Okay? Blank line there. The Old Testament reveals that a servant, okay, the first person that could be redeemed is a servant. Right under the qualifications of redemption, a servant. Secondly, according to Deuteronomy 25, and Ruth chapter 4, we find that a wife could be redeemed. A wife could be redeemed. And then, lastly, if you look at Leviticus 25 and go back down to verse number 25, if you would there, just a half a page down. Leviticus 25:25 says, if thy brother be waxen poor and hath sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. The third thing that we find from the Old Testament that could be redeemed is a piece of land. A piece of land. So the three items that the Old Testament says could be redeemed were a servant, a wife, and a piece of land. However, in each case, they must be redeemed by a kinsman redeemer who must exhibit three indispensable qualifications. A kinsman, a relative. Okay? And this is so interesting when you think about it. First of all, number one, this kinsman redeemer had to have the power to redeem. Blank line there, power. He had to have the power to redeem. In many cases, redemption was simply a matter of money. He had to have the power. He could want to, but if he didn't have the money, he couldn't do it. You see, he had the power to redeem. I gave you a cross reference there, John chapter 10. You know what Jesus said? He said, I lay my life down. No man taketh it from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. And so, ladies and gentlemen, thank God that Jesus Christ had the power to redeem us. Amen? But secondly, not only the power to redeem, but they had to have the right to redeem. The right to redeem. Leviticus 25, there in verse 49, it gives some very important specifics there. It says either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh of kin unto him of his family may redeem him. Or if he may be able, he may redeem himself. You know, the Bible says about Jesus Christ that he took on flesh. Hebrews chapter 2. Read those cross references. They're so good that he tasted death for every man, that he might destroy him that has the power of death, that is the devil. In verse 18 says, and because he had taken on our nature, because the Word was made flesh, that he is able to succor them that are tempted. He not only had the power to redeem, but because he took on human flesh, he had the right to redeem. He became one of us. He knows your sorrows. He went through sorrows. He went through every temptation that we went through, yet without sin. So he has the power to redeem. He has the right to redeem. And then thirdly, the qualification for a kinsman redeemer was he had to have the will to redeem. Verse 48 says, after that he is sold, he may be redeemed again. He may be redeemed again. The redeemer had to have the will to redeem. And the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of men and was made in the likeness of men. The form of a servant was made in the likeness of men. And being fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And you know what it says about Jesus when he was on the cross in Hebrews 12:2, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know what? Jesus Christ had the will to redeem. I looked in my Bible the other day as Brother Sousa was preaching, and I saw a message that a dear friend of mine preached. Not long after I got here, I went to his funeral. He committed suicide. The pastor, under such pressure and strain, and I remember looking at it, and it said it wasn't the nails that kept Jesus on the cross. No, he had the will to redeem. That love that he had for you and I, we'll look at it in just a little bit here. But so he had to have the will to redeem. Last line there. Jesus Christ, our kinsman redeemer, satisfied each one of these. You want an Old Testament type? Those of you that know your Old Testament, Boaz. Boaz. He redeemed Ruth. Remember, that's such a great chapter, a great book of the Word of God. It honestly take you about 12 minutes to read that slow. And you look at what Boaz was. He was that kinsman redeemer in the family, and he redeemed Ruth, married her. Oh, glory to God. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ, our kinsman redeemer that redeemed us. Number three. So number one, definition of redemption. Number two, qualifications of redemption. Number three, reasons of redemption. Number one, man fell in the Garden of Eden. Ladies and gentlemen, despite what the world and the critics say, the first 11 chapters of the Word of God, just like the other 1,178, were written by God, and they're absolutely true. Absolutely true. Man fell. Man fell in Genesis chapter 3. Man took of that which he was not supposed to. He sinned against God. He defied God's word, and man fell. That's a reason that we need to be redeemed. Number two, man is born in sin. Psalm 51:5. David confessing his sin says that he was conceived in sin, just like all the rest of us, born of man and woman. That's why the virgin birth is so important. You and I get our sin nature from our father, Adam. But the Lord Jesus Christ didn't come from Adam's seed. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Had no sin nature as you and I do. Amen? So we need to be redeemed because man fell in the Garden of Eden. Man is born in sin. This one's so important. If you're back, go back to Ephesians. Man is unable to free himself from the bondage of sin. Man is unable to free himself from the bondage of sin. Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Brother Tom and I were praying. I don't know how you pray. I don't know how you start. But Brother Downing, I almost always start by saying, "Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. I know my mind goes astray from God." Amen? I know it does. And if today I was able to stop sinning, totally stop sinning. I met some people who thought they had, but pride got them every time I talked to them, Brother Don. Amen? But just imagine if we were able to stop today. It wouldn't erase yesterday's sins. It wouldn't erase for me the last 44 years of sins. I am unable to free myself from the bondage of sin. Can't do it. Can't, no matter how hard I try, no matter how hard I pray, no matter how, I can't free myself from that. I'm not saying this is an excuse to sin. I'm saying that's the sin nature that we have. Can't free ourselves from the bondage of sin. It's a reason why we need redemption. Number four. Reasons for redemption. Man fell in the Garden of Eden. Man is born in sin. Man is unable to free himself from the bondage of sin. Man is infinitely loved by God. That's a reason for redemption. You're in Ephesians. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world." Amen, Brother Case? Hallelujah. Yes, sir, I remember it. "You walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved." Amen? The definition of redemption, the qualifications of redemption, the reasons of redemption, and then lastly, the compensation of redemption. The compensation. Ephesians 1:7. Says, "In whom we have redemption." Then what's it say? "Through his blood." Colossians, same. "In whom we have redemption through his blood." Hebrews 9:22 says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." We're going to talk about that a lot more. We don't have time to get to it tonight, but I just have that last quote, and I hope you'll remember it. Salvation's free, but it's not cheap. The perfect, precious blood of Jesus is why you and I can stand redeemed. Because Jesus poured out his blood for us. May we never get away from the blood. Churches that get away from the blood get away from the blessings of God. I'm here to tell you something. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. I'm redeemed, but only because he shed his blood for me. Father, thank you that you did.